Okay, we're tracking the war situation with Iran very closely, and Bloomberg claims it has acquired the text of the so-called Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU. And this text, I'll mention some of it here. This text is basically a full capitulation of the United States to every single demand that Iran could possibly come up with. It's a decisive victory by Iran. And yet, by the way, I'm still saying that we should support this and we should support Trump in pursuing this. Why? Because it ends the war and it reopens the Strait of Hormuz, which is absolutely critical. I mean, point number five in this MOU says that the United States lifts its naval blockade on Iran immediately upon signing the MOU. I'm sorry, that's point four. And then point five says the United States pledges to withdraw its forces from the region within 30 days from the date of the final agreement. Okay, so withdraw its forces from the region. Now, maybe they have to define what is meant by a region. But from my point of view, I'm looking at a globe and I see a map of the Middle East. That's the region, the whole Middle East. That means the US is out of Kuwait and Iraq and, you know, the UAE and all of it, Qatar as well. And it's gone from the Arabian Sea, and it's gone from the Sea of Oman. The US is gone from the whole region. Okay. Also, Iran says it will never produce nuclear weapons, but it had already previously promised that, and we're going to talk about this point in more detail. Point number 10 is that the US will halt all economic sanctions against Iranian oil and any related banking services. That means Iran will be able to sell its oil on the global market at normal market prices, which will probably start to plunge if this goes into effect, which would make oil a lot cheaper and make, you know, fuel prices go down just in time for the midterms. So maybe that's one reason why Trump really wants this to happen. Also, the United States will release frozen Iranian funds and assets. That's many tens of billions of dollars. We've heard the number 24 billion thrown around. We've heard that maybe half of that needs to be released before Friday, or 10 or 12 billion, but who knows? Now, I support Trump signing this agreement, even though, of course, the Israeli lobby is going insane. Their heads are exploding out of anger because, of course, they want endless war. They don't want peace, they want war. They want the whole world to suffer and burn so that Israel can keep bombing and conquering and taking more land and carrying out more genocide and war crimes against humanity. That's what Israel has become, a terror state run by mass murderers. Trump appears to be distancing himself from that camp, even though he was all in with them until just recently. Until just recently, like the last week. Now, there's two ways this goes. One way is that Trump gets pressured in or threatened into going back to going all in with Israel, and he supports Israel, and he backs away from this agreement, and he finds some reason to blame Iran, and he says, "No, we're just going to have perpetual war forever. You know, screw everybody." That's possible. There's a lot of blackmail. There's a lot of levers of power that the Zionists can use against Trump. And plus, they've infiltrated, you know, most of our federal government. Let's be honest. They've also infiltrated most of the Trump administration. So Trump is, he's alone right now in his own administration. He's alone in opposing Netanyahu, at least for the moment. So we'll see if that lasts. So that's one way this could go. The other way this could go is Trump keeps his word, signs the deal, the strait opens. Eventually, it's going to take a lot of time, by the way. This isn't an instant overnight recovery. And then sometime later this year, some of the oil shortage begins to finally get filled in, and, you know, maybe oil prices stay lower and, you know, supply chains eventually work themselves out. Although some of the fertilizer shortages are going to have an impact well into 2027. We've already talked about that. But if we open the strait now, it's better than having it closed for another 6 months, isn't it? So what's the difference, or what's the determining factor that will decide which way Trump goes on this? Whether he sides with Israel and keeps the war going, or whether he sides with America and signs the peace deal, which hands Iran a lot of victories, almost a total victory. What's the main determining factor? Well, I say that one of the things that we have probably forgotten about that may be the factor here is the claim that Iran has multiple nuclear weapons already. Now, that claim surfaced, I think it was maybe a little under 2 weeks ago. I covered it here on the podcast. But that claim surfaced from specifically Pepe Escobar, an investigative journalist, and a well-traveled investigative journalist with an extraordinary Rolodex of contacts in places like Pakistan and China and Russia and even Iran, etc. And also Larry Johnson, former CIA case officer, I think was his title. I've interviewed Larry many times. But Pepe Escobar, who I have not interviewed at this point, although perhaps, you know, perhaps that will happen someday here. But Pepe Escobar and Larry Johnson presented this information that was given to them by a high-ranking Pakistani official who said that they wanted this information to get to Trump, that Iran has multiple nuclear warheads and is prepared to, if necessary, demonstrate them. And then obviously it's implied also prepared to use them if necessary. Since that day, Trump has been singing a different tune. Since that day, like literally to the day or within 24 hours, Trump began saying nicer things about Iran. And then more recently, Trump is slamming Netanyahu. He's even condemning Netanyahu for bombing residential apartment complexes in Lebanon and saying, you know, it's too far, it's too much, you don't need to tear down the whole building just to get Hezbollah. And not everybody that lives there is Hezbollah. That's what Trump is saying. So Trump is openly and publicly criticizing Netanyahu. At the same time, there's been some level of U.S., I think it's KC-135 refueling planes that have been pulled out of Israel, which sends a very powerful signal that the U.S. isn't going to be there for all your wars anymore. And Trump may be sending other signals behind the scenes that indicate that Trump is pulling support from Netanyahu, and it's all happening now that nuclear weapons have been disclosed to Trump, that is, Iran having nuclear weapons. So we will know the truth about this within just a few days. If Trump reverses course and goes back in with Netanyahu and decides to bomb Iran again, then we will know that Trump doesn't believe Iran has nuclear weapons. And possibly then we would see a demonstration of a nuclear weapon. But if Trump continues on the current path that he stated for the last couple of days, that he's committed to this peace memorandum, you know, this understanding, he's committed to this process, and he's going to sign it on Friday, if that happens, then in my view, I think that's highly credible evidence that Trump believes Iran has nuclear weapons and that Iran is prepared to demonstrate them or use them. Now, here's what's interesting. Point number 8 from this agreement, as from Bloomberg, says that by Friday, Iran will agree that it will, quote, never produce nuclear weapons. Okay, that doesn't mean that Iran won't acquire nuclear weapons produced by Pakistan, does it? Or produced by Russia, for that matter, or North Korea, for that matter, right? So there's three countries, And I'm not including China in this because I don't think China would give Iran nuclear weapons. But I do think Pakistan would. I'm sure North Korea would. And Russia, maybe. Maybe. But not likely. The most likely party that is giving Iran nuclear weapons is Pakistan. Because Pakistan has, I don't know, what is it, like over 100 warheads or something? I don't know the exact number, but it's a lot. They could spare, you know, 10 nukes or something like that. And the most likely scenario, I mean, think about it. This intelligence that Pepe Escobar and Larry Johnson were talking about came from a Pakistani official. Why would a Pakistani official have this knowledge? Probably because Pakistan is the source of the nukes. So Iran can sign the agreement and agree, hey, we will never produce nuclear weapons, but we have some. It's like me saying, like, if I go to a Toyota car dealership and I say, hey, I agree I will never produce a Toyota, but I would like to buy one. Oh, okay, yeah, we'll sell you a Toyota. But I'm never going to make a Toyota. First of all, I don't know how, and I don't have the supply chain. Right? But Iran could easily make a nuclear weapon, but even more easily, they could just buy them or, you know, trade for them or negotiate for them using diplomacy. Maybe they've made a big promise back to Pakistan. You can imagine what some of those promises might be related to trade and routes due to geography and maybe offering Pakistan some new access to sea routes and things like that, right? Not hard to imagine. You know, Pakistan is located in a very unique geographic position that's actually quite critical to world trade, including trade involving, you know, China and Russia through the Middle East, etc., right? So Pakistan could benefit tremendously for its own economy by doing a deal with Iran that involves handing Iran nuclear weapons. And also, Pakistan tends to philosophically agree with Iran. I'm not saying that, I mean, they're not on the same page on everything, not even always on the same religion. But when it comes to the context of opposing Western malfeasance and Western attacks and, you know, Western chaos that is impacting the entire region, Pakistan and Iran can very much agree to see the world from the same viewpoint. So my guess, although I don't have any inside sources on this like Pepe Escobar does, but my best guess is that these are Pakistani nukes that Iran has in its possession, that Iran is able to attach to Iran's own existing ballistic missile delivery technology that Iran has engineered over the years quite expertly, perhaps with input from Russia, but maybe that's not even necessary because don't forget that Iran is filled with really high-level, you know, high-IQ people, mathematicians, engineers, you name it. Iran has a far more advanced education system at the university level than does the United States, by far. It's not even close. You know, in the U.S., we're graduating, like, woke idiots, and in Iran, they're graduating actual engineers who can calculate, you know, like, thermodynamics and things. So I'm not exaggerating. Iran has a better education system than we do in America. So surely Iran can attach nukes to missiles. So Iran can sign the agreement and say, we will never produce nuclear weapons, but we might deliver some, you know, we might launch some, we just didn't make them. You see what I'm saying? Now, if Trump knows this, and I strongly suspect that he's getting the message, then Trump is probably beginning to calculate the fact that the greatest damage from a nuclear weapon launched by Iran, no matter where the target is, whether it's Tel Aviv or a U.S. naval vessel or a U.S. military base or whatever, doesn't matter. The greatest fallout won't be radiation. It will be economic. The greatest fallout will be economic. I want you to imagine what the world looks like the morning after a nuke goes off in the Middle East. Doesn't even matter where it goes off, does it? If a nuke goes off And I'm not talking about just a testing demonstration like a nuke in the desert that Iran does itself. I'm talking about a nuke delivered to a target to destroy a target. A nuke launched by Iran. If that happens, the world changes, boom, just like that. What happens to the stock market? Probably crashes because people lose faith in the continuity of the system. The stock market crashes. Everybody sells their SpaceX stock, and what do they do with it? They buy gold, of course. Everybody rushes to buy gold. So gold shoots up to, you know, $10,000 an ounce, and the golden age stock market with all the IPOs and everything that Trump wants to keep in the stratosphere, all that collapses, and all of a sudden, trillions of dollars of apparent wealth is destroyed across the American economy and from the pockets of American pensioners and retirees, etc. And they all point the finger at Trump. You did this! You did this! And then the GOP loses in the midterms and Trump gets hammered with impeachments forever. See, Trump realizes that the greatest fallout from a nuclear weapon is economic, not physics, not radioisotopes, not radioactive decay. Understand? One nuke is all it takes to destroy the Trump presidency. And Iran has that nuke. So Trump is now, in my opinion, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if this is the case. But I'm guessing. I mean, I don't have 100% confidence of this, but let me just state what I'm thinking. Trump may be more afraid of Iran than he is of Netanyahu at this point. That wasn't the case until just recently when Trump learned that Iran has nukes that it acquired, that it can deliver. Before this, Trump was more afraid of Netanyahu by far because of, you know, Epstein blackmail, even deepfake Epstein blackmail. Doesn't even have to be real. It could just be something that Netanyahu throws out there. That is, if Netanyahu's even still living, which none of us know for sure if that's actually the case, but whatever. If Netanyahu's alive, they can drum up some fake Epstein files, deepfake Epstein files, you know, Trump doing whatever to whoever at whatever age. And what if it's all fake? What if it's all fake? See, Trump surely knows that that's a possibility, and he surely knows that, of course, Democrats would seize upon that and say, look, this is video proof of Trump doing whatever. That, you know, he's a rapist or whatever they would say, even if it's fake. But what Trump really fears is his own base seeing something like that and believing it. Which, I mean, come on. We're in the age, frankly, of when anybody releases almost any recording or any video or any photo that they claim is compromat, you know, blackmail information. At this point, given the AI technology, we all have to realize that almost anything can be faked. I mean, come on. You can watch videos of Douglas McGregor on YouTube that he never filmed, that he never stated. You can watch videos of Professor Zhang, you know, the Chinese, Canadian Chinese professor. Videos of him talking that he never spoke. He never did those things. I mean, there's people impersonating me. There's deep fakes of my voice out there. I mean, it can happen to anybody. It will certainly happen to Trump. So maybe Trump is realizing that we're past the point of having to be worried about Epstein files, because if anything comes out, the obvious answer is it's fake. It's all fake, and that's actually a legit answer these days, because so much of what's out there is fake. There was a little scandal, I mean, probably a deep fake scandal involving Eric Trump, in fact, just like 2 days ago, where somebody claimed to have screenshots of Eric Trump, and by the way, I don't believe this, but they claimed that it was Eric Trump asking if any of the UFC fights have been, you know, rigged, so that he can bet on them and win the bet. Okay? And that was circulated all over X and the internet. And said, oh, look, Eric Trump, he's a cheater. He's trying to, you know, he's trying to bet on a rigged fight, right? Well, that screenshot is the easiest thing to fake. It's probably completely fake. And of course, Eric Trump himself denied it and said, no, I would never do. And by the way, surely Eric Trump is smart enough that if he were to even attempt something like that, he wouldn't put it in a text, for God's sake. So I don't believe that text's image at all. I think it's completely fake. I'm not saying that I've never met Eric Trump. I don't know him, but I don't think that he would throw something like that in a text, some kind of damning, indictable admission. He wouldn't put that in text. Are you kidding me? Especially if your last name is Trump, you wouldn't do that. Anyway, that's just my point. So all this compromising material that Netanyahu might be threatening with, I think it's losing its value. And I think Trump is realizing that that's happening, and that whatever comes out, the more absurd it is, the easier it is to dismiss it as fakery. You know, if Netanyahu throws out, I don't know, a video of Trump, you know, dressed like a clown, humping a goat on a bungee cord, you know, whatever. I mean, the more absurd it gets, the more the answer is fake, fake, fake. Of course it's fake. It's totally fake. That's the right answer. Because I don't think Trump ever did that. I mean, how could you? Sounds complicated. And the other point in all of this is, who believes Netanyahu anymore? Who believes Mark Levin? If Mark Levin comes out and says, oh, we got some damning information on Trump, and this shows that he's betrayed Israel. Nobody believes Mark Levin. I mean, no rational person. Nobody believes Ben Shapiro. Nobody believes these Zionists any longer. And even Trump himself, who has been caught up in a lot of deceptions with his involvement with Netanyahu, even Trump himself is far more believable than Netanyahu. And that's saying something. You know, so Trump wins nothing by going back with Netanyahu, and he will lose everything. And in my view, Trump is far more afraid of Iran using a nuclear weapon than he's afraid of Netanyahu using the nuclear Epstein files. That's my point. And why do you think Congress is trying to push this 224 law into place? Why? To bypass Trump's approval to share intelligence with Israel. See, Netanyahu is trying to work around Trump because he knows that he can't arm twist Trump forever, or maybe he suspects that anyway. And so this law is designed to give Israel direct access to all the intelligence, regardless of whether the president approves of it. And that's why that law is straight up treason, by the way. And frankly, I would suggest that any member of Congress that votes to pass that law should probably be charged with treason and prosecuted for treason by obviously a future administration, because this, you know, the current administration would not prosecute those people. But if you vote to open your national security information to a foreign country where you have no control over what happens to it, then a country that has itself attacked and killed your Navy sailors on the USS Liberty, a country that has stolen your weapons technology from the past and sold it off to Russia, you know, a country that has run spies against you, you know, Pollard and others, and has been caught numerous times, if you share your national security intelligence with that country, that's treason, period. That's treason. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. And also possibly related to this, why is there no wreckage from a crashed B-52? There's no footage of it crashing? We're told it crashed just a couple of days ago, and that 8 military personnel are presumed dead. And then we're shown a picture from the Associated Press of just like an area of the ground that looks like somebody set it on fire, and there's no wreckage at all. There's no parts from any plane. Kind of like 9/11, you know, when we were told that a plane hit the Pentagon, but there's no plane parts there. There's no landing gear. There's no bodies. There's no luggage. There's no wings. You know, when we were told that a jet airliner hit the Pentagon on 9/11, you know, 2001, but there's no wreckage from a plane there. There's no undercarriage. There's no wings. There's no turbines. There's no engines. There's no luggage. There's no bodies. There's no bones. There's nothing. Not a single scrap of an airplane was ever found. There's not a single scrap of any airplane that's in any of the photos of the fire department response putting out the fire on the side of the Pentagon, where obviously a missile went in and exploded. Yeah, because our military shot the Pentagon with a missile, obviously. So something's up with the B-52, but we don't have time to dig into all that right now. It may or may not be related to Israel. Maybe it's a warning shot or something. I guess we'll just have to wait and see where that goes. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention, did you know there's a massive gas pipeline that connects Iran and Pakistan? We were just talking earlier about, you know, how could Pakistan benefit from this deal? Well, this pipeline, it's been around for like 25 years, I think. It's mostly completed, and it would carry a massive, you know, billions of cubic meters of gas every year. And the only reason it's not functional is because of the economic sanctions against Iran. So there's no way for, you know, banks to handle the funds transfers in exchange for the gas. But if the U.S. releases those sanctions or lifts them, then gas can flow to Pakistan and Iran can receive payment for it. So, and this could be massive for Pakistan's economy. Now, the pipeline's not completely finished. It's mostly finished. But Pakistan would have more energy redundancy and extreme low-cost energy to power its own economy, so that Pakistan could begin to grow its GDP based on industry and manufacturing, all kinds of things. See, that's another reason why Pakistan might have an incentive to give nuclear warheads to Iran so that Iran can win in these negotiations, so to speak, to have the sanctions lifted. All makes sense, doesn't it? So anyway, the bottom line right now is that our world is at a real pivot point, one that will reverberate for the rest of our lives and for many generations to come. That pivot point depends a lot on Trump right now. Whether you like him or hate him, he has positioned himself as a key decision maker for how history unfolds from here forward. There's a chance that he could catastrophically fail this test and could thrust the world into decades of war, violence, suffering, collapse, you know, all the horrible things you can imagine. There's also a chance that Trump could pivot here, that he could tell Netanyahu and Israel to pound sand, and he could put himself on the path of redemption, actually doing something for America, doing something for the world, making a decision for the greater good, even if it means that Iran gets a big win here, which Trump doesn't want. But the world wins because the world needs the fertilizer and the oil and the energy and the helium and the sulfuric acid and the gas and all that. So if Trump can swallow his pride a little bit here and handle Iran, you know, sanctions being lifted, etc., then it's also going to be good for Trump. It's going to be good for America. It's going to be good for the GOP. Oil prices will eventually fall. Gas prices will come down. Diesel prices will eventually come down. Although they're going to go up in August, no matter what, almost certainly. But they could begin to really start coming back down maybe before the midterms. So, you know, there's time to turn this around if Trump follows through with this peace memorandum and makes it happen on Friday. So I'm watching closely. I know you are. I will keep you posted as best I can. The whole world is watching. Lives are at stake. many millions of lives are at stake. And really, in many ways, the future of our world is at stake right here, right now. And it pains me that this comes down to the decision of one man who has not always sided with America and the world, but maybe this is his moment of transformation. Well, it's out of our hands, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I'm open to the possibility that Trump begins to redeem himself here. We shall see. All right? So join me in calling for peace, calling for the world to get back to business. We need the energy to flow. We need the fertilizer to flow. We need Israel to be halted with all its war crimes and all its expansionist, imperialist colonization aims. That's got to stop. That's not compatible with a civilized world, obviously. And if we can do these things, then guess what? We can make America great again, and we can make the world a better place with less war and less suffering. You know? I guess, well, it's a choice that humanity now faces. So we'll see where it goes. In the meantime, you want to stay prepared? We've got preparedness items for you, of course. HealthRangerStore.com, storable food, iodine, in case this thing goes nuclear. We've even got Iosat potassium iodide, things like that. We've also got heirloom garden seeds, so much more, nutritional supplements, high-end food, you name it. Again, HealthRangerStore.com. And our sponsor is the Satellite Phone Store that offers, of course, the satellite phones and power generators or power stations that are solar powered. So you can store sunlight energy and use it to run small appliances or recharge devices, etc. You can find all that at sat123.com. That's SAT123.com. So thanks for listening.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.